I feel kind of Santa-like. Hey, this is a... Anybody else wearing a Christmas present? Raise your hand up if you're wearing something you got on Christmas. I am too. This is a Christmas present. May not look like much to y'all, but this is for the Detroit Red Wings, my favorite team. This shirt came from Michigan. My mama sent it to me, FedEx, so wearing it today is pretty awesome. I welcome you here today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Please, please, today above every other day, let loose what you got going on after this. Don't think about what went on before this. Just be right here, right now, and worship the God who stepped into history to save our tail. Okay? Because that's what Christmas is about. God loving us so much, He wasn't going to leave us on our own. So enjoy yourself. Worship the Lord. Guess who? I say this every Sunday. I don't know if I say it every Sunday, but it could be said every Sunday that the choir here we're the choir. We're all singing to the Lord. But this morning, above most mornings, that's going to be true because there's going to be a lot of congregational singing. And this is what it sounds like if the congregation doesn't sing. Did you hear that? Right, that's not really worshipful. Sing out today. Lift your voice up. Real quick, before I pray and we start, because there's still some people walking in. God gave me a picture, and I just want to share it with you. And it's so weird, and I don't mean to step on any toes, but God gave it to me, so I'm giving it to you. That's kind of my job, okay? But it related church to the Christmas parade here in Grenada. Church and the Christmas parade. Anybody been to the Christmas parade here in Grenada? Okay, now look, I hear every year a lot of complaining about the Christmas parade in Grenada. They say, well, there ain't hardly no floats, and there ain't no this, and there ain't none of that, and it's too loud, and it's too this, and it's too that. But as a pastor, I also hear a lot about complaining about churches. You know, it's not this, and it's not that, and it's not this. And I figured something out. As one of the weird people who really enjoy the Grenada Parade every year, and one of the weird people who enjoy church, I figured it out. If you go to either one, the church parade, or the Christmas parade rather, or the church, if you go just to be passively entertained, you can find better entertainment somewhere else. That's true. You're always going to be discouraged or disappointed if you come just to be passive. But if you come and say this, what is the purpose for this parade? The purpose, lift up Christ. What's the purpose of the church? To lift up Christ. If you keep the purpose in your mind, and then if you say this, what an opportunity I get to encourage other people and to see people I know and to have all these people gathered together. So there was 1,000 people lined up on Main Street. Tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people, white people, black people, all kind of people. What if you went to that parade with the idea, I'm going to encourage somebody? Because you know what I do every year? I love it. And it's just selfish of me, I think. I do my best Jimmy Stewart imitation. And I run, and I did this time. I went from 51 Highway, all the way down that Main Street, that Fairground Street, all the way down to the square and back, saying, Merry Christmas! Did anybody, I see anybody there? If I saw you, you know that's what I said. I said, Merry Christmas! And I just try to encourage folks. You ever see Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life? Merry Christmas, you old Bailey savings and loan! And it's just so cool. If you miss out, or if you're disappointed in church or the Christmas parade, maybe it's because you're a prisoner to just passively sitting back thinking it's about you being entertained as opposed to an opportunity for you to worship God, to encourage somebody, and to enjoy yourself. Don't be passive this morning. Participate. Participate in the worship. God's worthy of it. Encourage somebody. Everybody needs encouragement. Are y'all ready for this? All right. Let me pray and we'll get started. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would be well pleased with what you hear from our heart. As we sing out to you, as we've gathered here, I'm so proud of everybody gathering here, taking their time out. But Father, the truth is you're worthy every day. Help us to be here actively participating, encouraging one another, and worshiping you in spirit and truth. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Merry Christmas, Christ Community Church!
Is it on now? Oh, it is on now. Oh. Isn't it pretty? I mean, look, I know it's serious. I know we're so serious about what we do all year and what we do all the time. Isn't it nice just sometimes so to say, wait, that's pretty. Let's just look at it. Being in the dark is inconvenient, but it's prettier. It's Christmas, so let's do it. We're going to have a real, I hope, simple but profound lesson. We'll leave God to the profundity of it. But Christmas has, I know for a lot of us, such a special meaning. But I hope that we'll catch what God intends us to get from it. In the book of Luke, in chapter 1, verse 37, right towards the end of Gabriel's announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ, he gives us this beautiful one-liner. It says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Y'all get that? I mean, this morning we're going to slow down and we're just going to think about that. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's one of the truths that God wants us to know about the arrival, the birth of His Son. Mary asked, "How can this be? I've never known of man. How can I have a child when I haven't gone through the process of getting pregnant and all these things?" And He says, "Look, don't you worry about the details right now, because for God, nothing will be impossible." Now, I want us to take that meaning, with God, nothing will be impossible. Should we say it one time just so we get it? Ready? On three. Let's say, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." One, two, three. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Okay, now work it. We got to work it from our head down into our heart, right? I don't know if you got to massage it down or something. Just get it down in there. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." I want to show you three seemingly impossible situations where the Son of God interacts and changes those situations, okay? And then we're going to end with an application. But the demonstration we're going to take from Mark chapter 5, because we are going through the Gospel of Mark, even on Christmas. Mark chapter 5. The verses will be up here, so if you can't read it, they are on your paper, but somebody decided to turn the lights off, so if you can't read it, it's okay. Just enjoy the pretty, hear the word, and be ready. Mark chapter 5 shows us three seemingly impossible situations. They're really situations we can all relate to today. And I want to put a little trigger warning on here. These are real deal situations. It may evoke some painful memories for some, but I encourage you to stick with me until the end, because I think God has an answer even for the toughest and most impossible things. That's what my faith in God is, that He has an answer in the most difficult and impossible seeming scenarios. In chapter 5, the first 20 verses, they tell us about a man who is possessed by demons. It's the worst case of demon possession recorded in the Gospels. It's a horrible situation. This man cannot be helped by anyone. All human effort to help this man has failed. Chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 record that. Speaking about the man, it says he lived in the tombs. He had an unclean spirit. His dwelling was among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Our first seemingly impossible scenario is this case of demon possession. And we don't talk a whole lot about demon possession in our time. It's you know, it's like the things of horror movies and stuff like that, fiction. I can understand that. I get that. Maybe somewhere we've cried out too much, you know, like there's a demon behind every problem. But let me tell you two things. One, I do believe demon possession still happens. And two, demon possession at its root is something on the outside of you coming into the inside of you and taking control of you. And I see that happen all the time. So let's not call it demon possession for a moment. Let's call it addiction. And let's say you're taking crystal meth from the outside of you on the inside of you, and it takes possession of who you are, of who your personality is. Or you've become enslaved to alcohol. Or you become enslaved to prescription drugs. Or you become enslaved to your lusts, whether it be sexual things or it be food. Whatever it is, it's something the outside of you that has now become gotten on the inside of you, and it has taken control over you. Now, that is a relevant issue in our time. And I'm going to tell you, most people, and this doesn't make them bad, but most people give up on addicts. Most people think if you become a sure enough addict to whatever it is, you're going to have that the rest of your life. Most people see that as an impossible scenario. After you've robbed your family, you've lied to your friends, you cheated your kids, you've broken every promise you ever made, you've been to rehab after rehab after rehab. Everybody, one of us has somebody like that in our family if we're not that one. And we think that's an impossible scenario. They can't get right. But I'm here to tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth. For with God, nothing will be impossible. This seemingly impossible scenario was cured by Jesus Christ. The last verse I want you to read and hear about this man is that when they found him, he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. How did he get that way? He had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He ran into this truth, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Don't give up on the addicts in your life. Those who struggle with addiction, don't you give up. Draw close to Christ. We don't have a need to give up because with our God, nothing will be impossible. Y'all get that? How many people are in our prison systems due to this problem? How many families break up because of this problem? How many lives end because of this problem? I'm going to tell you, God is bigger than that problem. Amen? Next scenario I want to talk about is a health issue. Jesus runs into a woman who has had a chronic illness, a chronic disease, a bad one. And it says she spent all her money, all her livelihood, and had nothing but bad results. It just got worse and worse. Let me read the scripture. It's chapter 5, verses 25 to 26 say, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse." Y'all, you go to some of our, even in our own church family, people we pray for. You think about George Sageberry, who's having a good day today, by the way. Texted and said he's having a good day. But 4 years ago, he was the human resources guy for a multi-state region taking care of big business. But because of cancer, it wore him out, and he can't do that anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a need for us to give up hope for George, even though he has that cancer, because God is bigger than that. But I can tell you this. For him, I know if it was me, if I put myself in his shoes, it can get awful discouraging. I'm looking at Barbara over here. Barbara lives in a place surrounded by people having long-term chronic illnesses, even if it's just age or if it's dementia or if it's something in their body they can't take care of themselves. It becomes very discouraging. People have a tendency to want to give up. This woman had given up. 12 years fighting a sickness, 12 years trapped within her own body because of this illness, she was giving up until that day she heard Jesus was coming by. And she thought to herself, if I could simply touch the hem of his cloak, maybe something will happen. And so she goes and reaches and stretches and grabs a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment. And this is what the scripture says in verse 29. "Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. God brought a healing into her life. Because even after 12 years and all the medical stuff, for with God, nothing will be impossible still applies. Now, does everybody get healed when they pray? Does every addict get clean after we pray? No, it doesn't always happen that way. But I'm going to tell you, the fact that it does happen means we ought never to lose hope. We're going to go to one more possible, seemingly impossible scenario. This is the toughest of all. So just hold on. There's a man. His name was Jairus. He had a daughter that he loved. She was 12. Y'all, we got some kiddos here today. Think about those ages, you know, 7 to 12, you know, right in there before they become teenagers and they're still nice. They're cool, cool people. Some of the funniest human beings I know are between those ages. They're just awesome. This guy comes. His daughter is bad sick. And there's nothing he can do about it. Hey, who's been in that scenario when somebody you love is bad sick or bad hurt or has got some kind of problem? And the truth is, you would do anything to swap places with them. If there's something you could do to help them, if there's something you could do to save them, if there's something you could do to heal them, you would do it. But the truth is, you find yourself in a place of complete helplessness because you can't do. That's exactly where this man was. I'm going to focus on the daddy in this scenario. We don't hear a lot about the girl except for she's at death's door. This is what he says. Jairus is his name. Verse 23 and 24, he says, he begged Jesus earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, that she might live. He's begging. At any time throughout the history of the world, it takes a lot to get somebody to beg, but I guarantee this, we all have somebody in our lives who we would beg for. Please help them. The scenario looks impossible. With this scenario, it even gets more impossible. In verse 34, before they get to this man's house, so Jesus can lay his hands on his daughter so that she might be healed, it says this. In verse 35, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler Jairus' house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Let the teacher go his way. Your daughter's dead. The possibility, the scenario just went from seemingly impossible to totally, in our minds, totally impossible. What can happen now? Look, and I want us to get there right now. What can happen at that point? At that point, we're stuck, right? At that point, we stop. You stop praying. You stop hoping. You stop talking to the teacher. No need to bother him anymore. It's done. It's finished. This is where I want our faith to grow, Christ Community Church, that even with that scenario, for with our God, nothing is impossible. Now, let me run this scenario out. Jesus gets there. He told him, he said, don't worry. Only believe, and we'll get to that in a minute, because that's one of the greatest applications you can get from any sermon on any day. Don't be afraid, only believe. And they marched on to their house. They get to their house, and they say, and they're weeping, and they're crying. You can imagine, this one of the coolest human beings in the world has just gone on, and they're sad. Jesus said, don't be sad. She's not dead, she's only sleeping. And they began to make fun of him. They ridiculed him. Can you imagine that? Anyways, it's one of those things. That's how we are. When we don't believe something, we ridicule it. When we think something's impossible, we make fun of it. Instead of believing, we push it away. So they begin to ridicule Jesus. Jesus just gets them out of the room. He clears the room. He brings mom and dad in. He brings James, John, and Peter in. And he comes over to the little girl. And he says, Talitha Kumi, which is translated loosely, little girl lamb. Little lammy. Little lammy. Rise up. And the scripture says immediately she arose And she began to walk around because she was 12 years old. And then Jesus says, get her something to eat. And there was great rejoicing. With God, nothing will be impossible. But here's where I want us to get real. Because people in this room have gone through the worst tragedy that can be that can happen for parents. But let me suggest something to you. That with our God, even death is not an insurmountable enemy. Our God who says there is a heaven. Our God who says if you believe on me, there's everlasting life. Our God who says, though you may die, you will be with me forevermore. Don't you be afraid. Where I go, there you'll be also. Our God. Nothing is impossible with him, not even death. Even if you say goodbye, or when you say goodbye to those whom you love, whom you wish you could have held on to a little bit more, don't you lose hope, because with our God, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in eternal life? That's where we get when it says, for with God, nothing is impossible. The ultimate thing is to say this, I believe that Jesus Christ, who was born in the manger, who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross for me and rose from the grave, is able to bring me to be with him where he is, and all those who've believed on his name. We have a hope in Christ to where the end isn't even the end. The Bible says about funerals, brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant and sorrow like the rest of the world that has no hope. Because the truth is, even at the cemetery, a Christian has a hope. And it's not that they'll come back out right then, but that they will be with Christ in heaven, and one day we will be with them again. Not even death is a permanent, overwhelming victor over Christ. He beats death. Do y'all get that? So here's the meaning of Christmas. Just saying it again. For with God, nothing is impossible. The application I want to bring to your life and my life, whatever impossible scenario, seemingly impossible scenarios you're facing, economic, relational, health, spiritual, addiction, whatever, life and death, whatever seemingly impossible situation, I want to give you the words that Jesus spoke to the man who was about to lose his daughter. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Y'all get it? What a Merry Christmas it is when we get that. Amen? Let's pray. And then we're going to sing our way out. We'll sing for a while and then we'll be out. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. And Lord, I pray that as we sing, as we lift up our voice, that we'll be lifting it up in faith and spirit and truth. But Father, just knowing and rejoicing that what that meant when you came, when the Lord, our Lord Jesus came here, you are demonstrating to us that nothing is impossible for you. Help us to live in that truth. Help us to cultivate that mindset that when we see these scenarios that to us seem so impossible, that we'll remember the simple fact that you're bigger, you're stronger. Our God is so big. Our God is so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are going to take up an offering. And do we have ushers, Christmas ushers? If you're a Christmas usher, come forward. If you're an anytime usher, like two more people who maybe didn't know you're a volunteer, come on forward. That'd be wonderful. Are you coming forward as usher or band? Usher. One more. All right. We got Bubba or Paul. Bubba's closer. Bubba wins. Closeness wins. After the offering, we're going to just sing out, and then that'll be our conclusion. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time, and I pray that as we go, as we give, will remember that with you all things are possible. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how to say that. But anyways, wasn't that cool? Are y'all ready? Listen, now it's our time. Everything else is done. It's the time for the choir to sing. Y'all the choir? We're going to have help up here, but y'all the choir. You ready? Y'all need to do anything to tone up? Me, la, 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 fa, la, la, la. The kids are playing first. Are they already behind me? All right, kids, come out. What's it? Your wife. Come on out. Come on out, kiddos. They're not all kiddos. I mean, Jonathan's not kiddos. Hello. Hey. We're in for some good stuff. Come on, go up there. Flout it out. Hey, if you got it, flout it. I don't know that. Anyway. You know, do we sing with them? Are we singing with you guys? We're not going to sing with you guys. Okay. All right. Okay. I can't help it. Away in the manger. Okay. Ready? Still not. Woo! Christmas trumpet! Y'all didn't know we were going to do all this cool stuff, did you? This is cool. Now it's our turn. Hey, if you want to stand, it'll probably open up your diaphragm so you can sing out better or something like that. Diaphragms. Stretch your diaphragm. Yeah, let's stand out. We're going to sing together. I'm going to wave my hands. And then you all sing. All right.
Thank you. sang? Sang. That's after I got to Mississippi. And they sang. They were singing. After I got saved, this is like the first song where it dawned on me, like a big dummy. I'm like, wow, that's talking about Jesus and like saving people. I know it should have struck me a lot earlier, but this was the first one. Sing out.
That's all they got. I don't know if anybody else wants to sing some songs. Y'all want? Anybody else got something they want to sing?
No.
Merry Christmas. Like, we wish you a Merry Christmas? All right, we wish you a Merry Christmas on three. Y'all ready? One, two, three.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Woo! I don't know the rest of it.
Tidings we bring to you. Diabetes and put some stevia or something in that. All right, are y'all ready for a Christmas blessing? Man, that's so good. So good to be with y'all on Christmas. It's an awesome day. Remember, for with God, all things, nothing will be impossible. Don't be afraid. Only believe and go forth in the name of Jesus. Thank y'all for letting me be your pastor another year. This will be our last service, Sunday service for this year. And look forward to seeing you next year on the very first day of 2017. I love you all. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. Let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you that you came for us to do what no one else could do. What seems and is impossible for us is not in you. Help us to have that kind of faith, a faith that sees even beyond the grave. That you were born that men may no longer die. That you have come to raise the sons of earth. Just like the song says, Father, help us to see how great, how awesome you are. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this Christmas. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready. Break.